This is The Recency Bias. I'm Zach Vanoss, which you probably knew that. Good to have you along, following up Game 5 on your Montreal Canadiens season. Improved to 3-1-1. Not very good, it turns out. Not good at all. Detroit Red Wings at the Bell Center on Monday night in a game that got silly at the end. It was one of those games that, coming into it, I thought, you know, the Canadiens played fairly good competition through the first four games. Toronto Maple Leafs, obviously a good team. Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously a great team. Played them a couple times. Maybe the verdict's still out on what kind of team the LA Kings are at the moment, but let's say for the record, a good team. The Detroit Red Wings, and that is how the good people of Detroit, Michigan, would like you to say their city name, which I try and do, because as somebody who cheers for the Montreal Canadiens, it's Montreal Canadiens. Just say it right. So the Detroit Red Wings, I'll do my best on that. It's the least courtesy I could extend them, considering I think it's going to be a very long season in Detroit. So let's say, we're looking at a team that isn't very good coming to the Bell Center, and I'm asking myself, how are the Canadiens going to show up? You know, it's easy to get up for a game against the Kings or the Leafs or the Penguins, but what about if the lowly Red Wings come into the Bell Center? Well, it looks like we got our answer. This one, a big one for one Thomas Plekanec playing his 1,000th game. 983 of them in the Bleu, Blanc, et Rouge. 17 of them, unfortunately, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But hey, that's why Plecky is the ultimate team guy. He went to Toronto, got us some assets, and then came on back. And now he's a fourth liner. He's no longer wearing the letter, but he's still out there doing his thing. I mean, that's what Plecky has been from day one, the way I understand it with the Canadiens. He has been a gym rat. He's been quiet. He leads by example. And kind of an institution for much of the era of Montreal Canadiens that I've been watching now. Hard to remember a time without old Turtleneck out there. And another big night. It's not like there's a lot of big nights for Thomas Plekanec anymore. But it was a big night for him, not only his 1,000th game, but he gets one of many goals in the 7-3 win for your Habs. Let's go over that right now. Jonathan Drouin with a 2-goal game. He needed it. No doubt about that. Great to see, including one one on the penalty shot, which was exactly like his the goal he scored on the shootout the other night. Which tells me that Jimmy Howard, maybe he doesn't watch video. Check the video, Jimmy Howard. You would have seen that move coming. Or maybe Drouin's just got such sweet hands. Hard to say. And then, yeah, Thomas Plekanec getting one on the night, his first of the season, obviously. Thomas Tatar against his former team, one of his two former teams, obviously a former Vegas Golden Knight from last season as well, but Tatar picking up his third of the year. Brendan Gallagher also getting number 3. Charles Hudon, say it with me, Judd, gets number 2. And Paul Byron keeps pace with Tatar and Gallagher for the goal lead on your Montreal Canadiens in the early going as he gets his third of the season in some late garbage time. There was no Carey Price yet again for this one, and hey, that's probably for the best. We wouldn't want to waste a Carey Price start on the silliness that was on the ice on Monday night. Price still feeling the effects, the after effects of the whatever it was, the virus, the flu, the cold, the cough, the chills, whatever it was that Price had Saturday night. He just hadn't skated in 3 days. This was supposed to be Miami's start anyway. You rest Carey Price. It's fine. It's Detroit. They're obviously not very good. Yeah, the things, you got the sense things were going to go perhaps Montreal's way when Drew and I scored on that penalty shot 7 minutes into the game. And then you really felt like things were in Montreal's favor, even though they didn't really come out any devastating degree that looked like they're about to throw down 7 against the Red Wings. Once Plex got a real ugly goal, he started thinking, oh, we'll see where this goes. But they were still announcing Plek's ugly goal when the Habs pretty much fell apart for a second. 2-1. Oh, man. I was ready to say this name smoothly, and then just as I got to the A, I stumbled. Athanasiu? Athanasiu? I'm sorry, everybody. I tried. He had two, too. You got Tatar. He's had a big night, as I say, with that one at the end of the first. And then a nifty. He had a really nifty pass to set up Gallagher just 4 minutes in the second. That made a 4-1 at that point. 33 seconds after that, Judd got his goal. At that point, it was goodbye, Jimmy Howard. Hello, Jonathan Bernier, who didn't get yanked for Detroit the other night as they were pummeled by the Boston Bruins. I mean, Detroit is... they're really fighting it right now. They're fighting it in net. They're fighting it all over. It's if you've watched hockey over the last 25 years, the Detroit Red Wings were formidable. Playoffs year after year after year. So it's a little odd to see Detroit be possibly the worst team in the NHL through the, for, I mean, it's early days, but reason to believe the Red Wings might be the absolute worst team in the NHL this season. I think it's possible that they wind up with that, I don't know, first overall pick, but certainly gives themselves the best lottery odds. In comes Drouin. Canadians would still manage to get a couple more past him, including the second of the night from Jonathan Drouin. Did I say in comes Drouin? I meant in comes Bernier. Yeah, Drouin buries that one on a power play. A nice goal that he'd set up. Like, it was ugly in that he was just in the dirty spot as everybody scrambled and found it. But if you look back at how that play started to set up, Jonathan Drouin made a really nice pass across the center ice. And then as the action kind of collapsed on the net, put himself in the right spot and tucked it past Bernier. Say a massive two-goal night for Jonathan Drouin, who really needed it. Now maybe he'll be getting going. And the third period, what's there to say about the third period? It was ugly hockey. The ghost of Thomas Vanek getting on, but there wasn't a lot to watch once it was 5-1 for the Canadians, 6-1 for the Canadians. And add one more, Paul Byron doing his thing. A fun one, an entertaining one. Great hockey? No. Canadians and Detroit Red Wings are probably not going to play a lot of great games this year. But I was happy to see that the Canadians did not necessarily play to the level of their opposition. They continued to play quick and fast. Well, not the same thing. The keen listener will know. But, you know, a lot of passes, a lot of puck movement. Still moving through the neutral zone at a good clip. It wasn't as if the fact that they were up against an inferior competition changed the game plan at all, which I was really happy to see. Now we just got to get Arturi Lehkonen going, and hey, in a 7-3 game, Kotkaniemi can't find his first of the season in his career? Come on. That's the one disappointment from the game. We still haven't got Kotkaniemi's first of his career. I mean, cripes, he's already 18 years old. Get it together, kid. That'll do it. 1,000 games for Thomas Plekanec. A tip of the turtleneck to Plex. 1,000 games, 983 of them with the Montreal Canadiens. And I don't think anyone's still entirely confident how to properly pronounce his last name. There's a few different variations on it out there. But hey, I remain on side that throughout his entire tenure, Thomas Plekanec was a little underrated, or was perhaps at times significantly underrated as a Canadian. I do think, though, as we're kind of reaching what I expect will be the last year of Plekanec's NHL career at the very least, there's a certain respect, I think, from Habs fans now, absolutely recognizing just how crucial of a player he has been over a long time, and never an issue, always a hard worker, as I said, the gym rat, the lead by example, our hero in a turtleneck. So a great night for Plex, solid night for the Canadians. Next up, they'll be taking on a more formidable foe, the St. Louis Blues. That's a 7 p.m. start at the Bell Center on Wednesday night. And then Saturday, they will travel to Ottawa, take on the Senators. That's also a 7 o'clock start. 3-1-1, your Montreal Canadiens after 5 games. That ain't bad. That can be dealt with. You can't complain about that. And it's been pretty entertaining hockey. 5 entertaining games. Remember, there was a stretch where they won 5 straight in November, I want to say, of last season. That was about the most fun we ever had in 5 games last year. Payoff's working out this year. Just a few other games, 3 other games to be precise, around the Ligue Nationale de Hockey on Monday night. Toronto, they can't be stopped. 6-1-0 with a 4-1 win over Los Angeles Kings. Ottawa beats up on Dallas 4-1. Not bad, Ottawa coming out of the gate, 3-2-1. Decent start for what's supposed to be a horrible team. And Nashville double up on Minnesota, 4-2, the score in that one. And no, P.K. Subban did not score. So, that's your update from around the NHL. Hey, find me on Twitter. I'm at Zach Drops Tweets. Of course, this podcast at the Montreal Bias. We just put up, and perhaps you have yet to hear it, although it did piggyback on the most recent or the previous episode of the Recency Bias, as we did Game 4, and then we leaned it into the most recent episode of the Big Pod, the Montreal Bias, Sean and I talking about the Shea Weber captaincy. We said our goodbyes to college boy Max Pacioretty, and then we drafted our top 10 NHL, or rather, top 10 Habs media, which you can also, spoiler, find on that Montreal Bias Twitter feed. We've posted it now. But you should really get into, don't just look at the list. See our reasoning for the list as we drafted them between Sean and I. Until Thursday morning, as the Habs play Wednesday night, and everyone will be watching that game stoned out of their mind. Take care.